I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is June 1st, 2009. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, the Hubble Repair Mission. The Hubble Space Telescope has opened new windows into deep space and enabled astronomers to travel visually to nearly the beginning of time. Orbiting Earth every 97 minutes for the past 19 years, the observatory also has beamed down thousands of stellar and planetary portraits, so vivid they appear three-dimensional. Iconic images have included stars in the throes of birth and death, galaxies stalking galaxies, and chunks of comets slamming into Jupiter. The spectacular scenes are merely grace notes to astronomers, who use the telescope to probe far-off specks of light for data on movement and molecules. But they've made the school bus-sized telescope the world's best-known piece of scientific equipment. Hubble is not just about science. Hubble is about its stunning imagery. Space is a beautiful place because of this imagery. But in the 7 years since it was last serviced, Hubble has suffered computer and power failures that hamper its usefulness and could shorten its life. So NASA scheduled a launch of the highest profile space shuttle flight in years, sending Atlantis to hook up with the space telescope 353 miles above the Earth. Five tightly choreographed spacewalks, each lasting 6.5 hours, are planned to rebuild the telescope and extend its life to at least 2014. With the shuttle due to retire next year, this will be the last Hubble repair mission. The astronauts' work will include swapping out 125-pound batteries and replacing stabilizing gyroscopes. More delicate tasks will entail exchanging the main camera for a far more powerful model, installing an ultraviolet sensing instrument able to provide information on the temperature and composition of distant stars and planets, and repairing guidance and data systems. When they're done, NASA hopes Hubble's ability to see deep into space will be vastly upgraded, beyond anything it has been able to do since it was launched in 1990. Everything we have done up to this point has been in preparation for the final 5 years. Among those who will watch closely is astronomer Paul Callas of the University of Cal Berkeley, who used Hubble to photograph a so-called extrasolar planet, one beyond Earth's solar system. It's like looking for a ladybug on a headlight. The star can be 10 billion times brighter than the orbiting planet. Nonetheless, Callas's team announced late last year that it had snapped the first visible light photo of such a planet. It's about 25 light years from Earth and called Fomalhaut B. To Callas, this shows the value of Hubble to point the way for Earthbound scientists and instruments. Science has moved along a lot faster because of Hubble. In January, Callas met astronaut and astronomer John Grunsfeld, Hubble's lead repairman, a veteran of two previous repair missions and a user of the telescope. Callas said it's really something to have lunch with somebody willing to risk their life for this science. According to NASA, the chance of mission disaster, elevated because of space junk in Hubble's neighborhood, is 1 in 229. For a time, the agency wasn't even willing to fly to Hubble after Shuttle Columbia's disintegration during re-entry in 2003. NASA ruled shuttles would fly only to the International Space Station, which could serve as a safe haven in the event of damage to the shuttle's heat shield during liftoff. Hubble's orbit is more than 100 miles higher than the station's. A 2006 repair mission to the telescope was canceled, but restored after public outcry. Still, Shuttle Endeavour will sit on a nearby launch pad, prepared to launch a rescue flight with a crew of four should Atlantis have an emergency. The Hubble Observatory got off to an inauspicious start. After it was placed in orbit and turned on, astronomers found that distortions in its main mirror were resulting in fuzzy images. But a fix-it mission in 1993 installed a corrective lens, and Hubble was soon rewriting astronomy books. It produced strong evidence of black holes. It watched fragments of the Shoemaker-Levy 9 comet slam into Jupiter, and it took the deepest looks ever into the universe, recording faint smudges of light that originated just 700,000 years after the Big Bang. The images helped put the age of the universe at 13.7 billion years. Edward Wyler, a longtime chief Hubble scientist and now NASA's associate science administrator, said the telescope not only surpassed expectations, but also created new ones that couldn't have been conceived before it went into space. The telescope's original price of $400 million quadrupled before it was launched, but it's still a bargain. The Hubble's total cost, including four previous repair flights, stands at about $10 billion. Astronomers, though, are eager to go beyond Hubble. In 2014, if all goes well, NASA will launch the James Webb Space Telescope. It's intended to orbit a million miles from Earth, with a main mirror far larger than Hubble's, and it will be better able to peer through gas and dust clouds to get astronomers closer to a view of when the universe was formed. Once Hubble no longer functions, NASA will turn to another device that will be installed during Atlantis's mission, a docking port that will allow a future spacecraft, most likely robotic, to latch onto Hubble in order to guide it to a fiery demise in Earth's atmosphere, or up to the relative safety of a graveyard or museum orbit. Alan Dressler of Carnegie Observatories in Pasadena, California, whom some refer to as the father of the James Webb Space Telescope, said astronomers yearn to answer two core questions: how did we get here, and are we alone? Hubble, he said, has given astronomers some of the most important clues so far by providing a glimpse of the earliest stars and galaxies and by blazing a trail for the Webb telescope to follow for an even closer look. The Hubble Space Telescope got us to the doorway of that era. That's a huge accomplishment. And for the science segment, continuing on this same subject, Shuttle Atlantis lands safely after Hubble's success. Space Shuttle Atlantis landed safely in California on Sunday, bringing home seven triumphant astronauts after their successful service call on the beloved Hubble Space Telescope. After 2 days of delay due to storms, the third time was the charm for Atlantis as it touched down on the dry lake bed runway at Edwards Air Force Base to end a 13-day mission to the 19-year-old Hubble. Rainy weather thwarted the shuttle's attempts to land in Florida earlier in the week. Mission Control radioed, "Welcome home. Congratulations on a very successful mission, giving Hubble a new set of eyes that will continue to expand our knowledge of the universe." Atlantis Commander Scott Altman replied, "Thank you, Houston. It was a thrill from start to finish. We've had a great ride. It took a whole team across the country to pull it off. Our hats are off to you." Returning to Earth with Altman were pilot Greg Johnson and mission specialists Michael Good, Megan MacArthur, John Grunsfeld, Michael Massimino, and Andrew Fustel. "We're not leaving an aging telescope. We're leaving a newly refurbished telescope," Altman said. "A telescope that is now at the apex of its capabilities and will be for a long time to come." Altman and his crew spent just under a week linked with Hubble, where spacewalking astronauts installed two new instruments, replaced aging batteries and gyroscopes, and revived two long-dead instruments that were never designed to be opened, let alone repaired, in space. The result, a rejuvenated Hubble more powerful than ever before, one that is capable of peering back to when the universe, now 13.7 billion years old, was just a nascent 500-million-year-old universe. The space telescope's new instruments and repair tools should continue its work to probe the structure of the universe, black holes, and the existence of dark energy. "This is a 110% successful mission," said Dave Lacrone, Hubble's senior project scientist. I hope Hubble does well and has a long life ahead of it and lots of interesting science, said Grunsfeld, a self-described Hubble hugger and astrophysicist who made his third trip to Hubble and fifth career spaceflight during the mission. Grunsfeld said that humans and Hubble have a storied history together, brought to light by flights like this one and the 1993 flight that fixed the telescope's blurry vision due to its flawed mirror. The camera and corrective optics that cleared Hubble's view returned home aboard Atlantis and are destined for the Smithsonian Institute. Atlantis' last mission cost about $1 billion to fix Hubble, though nearly $10 billion has been invested in the telescope since its inception. NASA will have to pay an extra $2 million to ferry Atlantis back to its hangar here at the Kennedy Space Center, a process which should take a week, depending on weather. The shuttle orbited Earth 197 times and flew 5.3 million miles during the trek, which marked NASA's 126th shuttle flight and the 30th mission for Atlantis. NASA plans to fly up to 8 more shuttle missions to complete construction of the International Space Station. Atlantis astronauts were hailed this week by the Senate and U.S. President Barack Obama, who personally called the shuttle Wednesday to congratulate the crew on the success at Hubble. Their work was all the more poignant since it was the fifth and last flight to repair and upgrade Hubble before NASA retires its shuttle fleet next year. The shuttle carried an IMAX 3D camera to record the flight. When we talk about the Hubble and giving it essentially a new life and a new way of going and seeing the universe, you've touched our hearts and you've also made history, said Senator Barbara Mikulski. Working in two-man teams, Atlantis' four-man Hubble repair crew persevered through 5 daunting spacewalks, at times struggling through stuck bolts and other snags which threatened to thwart their attempted fixes. Every single spacewalk to me was a nail-biter, Johnson said. You should have seen the action out the back window. I was on the edge of my seat. During their spacewalks, Atlantis astronauts installed a powerful new wide-field camera and a super-sensitive spectrograph for studying cosmic structure. They also repaired Hubble's main imager, the advanced camera for surveys, and a versatile spectrograph, which failed in 2007 and 2004. The astronauts also attached a docking collar on Hubble that will allow a future robotic vehicle to latch on sometime after 2020 and send it plunging into the Pacific Ocean once its mission ends. Atlantis's final flight to help Hubble launched on May 11th, but almost never happened. NASA initially canceled the flight in 2004 in the wake of the Columbia disaster that killed 7 astronauts. The mission was resurrected in 2006, but by then NASA had a plan. Unlike missions to the International Space Station, where astronauts can take refuge if their shuttle is damaged, Atlantis had no such safety net. Hubble flies higher and in a different orbit, putting the safe haven of the station beyond reach of Atlantis's crew. Hubble also flies 350 miles above Earth, where the levels of space junk and chances of serious damage are higher than at the 220-mile-high space station. NASA's solution? A second space shuttle, Endeavour, which stood ready atop a launch pad throughout the mission, primed to launch a rescue flight if needed. The precaution was never needed, and NASA released Endeavour from its rescue ship status. Atlantis astronauts said there was never a question. Fixing Hubble was worth the risk. Hubble really has struck a fundamental chord in human hearts around the world, Grunsfeld said. It's probably the most significant science instrument of all time in terms of its productivity. Astronomers try to use Hubble to answer fundamental questions that we've had since the beginning of human history. These astronomers are chomping at the bit to use the telescope's new instruments. The telescope is expected to resume science observations in late summer after a rigorous checkout period. And now the arena goes abroad. Today we go to Russia. This story, the Tunguska meteor event. Did a UFO deliberately crash into a meteor to save Earth 100 years ago? That's what one Russian scientist is claiming. Dr. Yuri Labvin, president of the Tunguska Spatial Phenomena Foundation, insists that an alien spacecraft sacrificed itself to prevent a gigantic meteor from slamming into Earth above Siberia on June 30th, 1908. The result was the Tunguska event, a massive blast estimated at 15 megatons that downed 80 million trees over nearly 100 square miles. Eyewitnesses reported a bright light and huge shockwave, but the area was so sparsely populated no one was killed. Most scientists think the blast was caused by a meteorite exploding several miles above the Earth, but Labvin thinks quartz slabs with strange markings found at the site are remnants of an alien control panel, which fell to the ground after the UFO slammed into the giant rock. We don't have any technologies that can print such kind of drawings on crystals. We also found ferrum silicate that cannot be produced anywhere except in space. It's proof that not all kooks live in the United States. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Jerry Allen Coyne, born in 1949, he is 59 years old. He is an American professor of biology, known for his commentary on the intelligent design debate. He is currently a professor at the University of Chicago in the Department of Ecology and Evolution. His concentration is speciation and ecological and evolutionary genetics, particularly as they involve Drosophila. And now for the quote from Jerry Allen Coyne. If the history of science shows us anything, it is that we get nowhere by labeling our ignorance God.
Are you ready, Goose? Done walking.